Welcome to the annual Evident Life Church Tour, where we're going to explore our past. We're going to be reminded and get more insight into our calling as a church family, and we're going to look forward to our future. Every year when we do this church tour, I always start off by saying that we are a church that's led by GPS. And what does that mean? Global positioning system. Well, we all have that. It's all in our phones and all that. But no, GPS, God's positioning system. We really are. We're a church that's truly desires to hear from God. We don't want to get off on our own stuff. We don't want to just read a book on Church 101 and let's just go do this and do that because it sounds good or it might make things easier or more comfortable in this way or that way. And look what's happening over here with this other church and let's try that. No, we want to hear from the Lord. We really do. And we seek Him and we go to His Word. We listen for what He's having to say. We pray, we come together, and then we, by God's grace, we go after it. We go the direction that He's leading us. And so, GPS, God's positioning system. So let's just keep that in mind as we are taking this church tour here this morning. We're going to begin our tour by talking briefly about our past. We want to rejoice in what God has already done here at Evident Life Church, what He's done in us and through us as a church. We launched on September 13th, 2009. It's like about 4.5 years ago or so. That's when we officially launched as a church. And we started meeting on this launch date in the Southeast Regional Library over there on Greenfield and Guadalupe. It was really handy because you could literally throw a rock from our backyard and just about hit the library. That was really nice. But it was a blessing. It was a wonderful space that the Lord gave us to start meeting as a church. How many of you were there in that building? How many of you met? Look at that. A whole lot of you. A whole lot. That's nice. That's awesome. And if you remember we always would say, hey, let's remember these days. We're going to think of them as the good old days, right? And one of the things that I always remember, because I had to get over it, I had to get okay with it, that is that about halfway through every sermon every week, there would be this, the library will be closing in 15 minutes. The library will be closing in 15 minutes. And we talked to the library about that. Can you turn it off in the meeting room? We can't do it. It's part of our security system, broadcast system and all. We can't do it. So we just learned to live with it and say, you know what? Remember the good old days. Remember the good old days. And I believe we're going to be saying, remember the good old days 5 years from now. Remember the good old days when we were in that upper room in the Gilbert Town Square and the pastor was preaching and there was this music playing below us as it even is. I can hear it this morning. Boom, 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 boom. Just faintly hear it. Remember the good old days. Sometimes, you know, in life we have to look at things that way. Things that seem like they're a struggle or a difficulty. I think of the Herbers who just had a crazy experience with their move. Moving out of one house and the other house that they were to move into wasn't ready. And where do we go? What do we do? And they're scattered all over, staying with family and friends in different homes and trying to get the place ready and all that. And I say, you're going to look back and go, remember the good old days. Remember that season of our lives when it was crazy, but God was there and He was good to us. Remember the good old days. There are things probably in your life right now that you need to get that new perspective on and say, you know what? God is good. I'm alive today. I'm breathing. He's providing for my needs. And I'm going to look back and go, remember the good old days. God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness in all things. The Lord blessed us on Easter of 2010 with this facility. We moved in here after about a month and a half of feverishly working as a church family, moving walls, painting, all that kind of stuff. And hey, are you ready? You know, 5-year anniversary, we're going to kind of be doing that again here in just a few more months. It was a great time. God uses all things, even times when we got to hunker down and work and roll up our sleeves. He uses those things for His glory. And He did that 4.5 years ago as we were getting this place together and just the relationships and the fellowship and camaraderie that were built in the body of Christ during that time. It was pretty awesome. As we were launching Evident Life Church, the Lord was also calling us to be a house of prayer. And we're like, oh, yeah, of course. It says in God's word that we're to be a house of prayer. And he said, no, you're actually supposed to really be a house of prayer and make that a primary ministry of your church. And so the time that we launched Evident Life Church, we also launched our ministry, the East Valley House of Prayer, EV Hop. And we've been involved in prayer since we planted as a church, and we've been involved in prayer throughout the state, all kinds of different things. We were, when Luis Palau came, we helped lead the whole prayer efforts for that large evangelistic event. We were very instrumental in that. We've been involved in the 11-11 stuff, praying throughout high schools throughout the state of Arizona. We've been involved in praying over the town of Gilbert, the National Day of Prayer, all kinds of things, prayer walking our community, prayer meetings almost every day of the week that are going on in the house of prayer. And so the Lord is using that, and I know that he is blessing this church because of that, because of the faithfulness to saying, yeah, we'll do it. We'll get on board with that, God. Africa. From the beginning of our church, the Lord put us in relationship with a pastor in a church over in Africa, Pastor Manuel Fiagbaji. And he put us in touch with him and has just allowed us to create a really special friendship and relationship. And in that, also blessed us with the ability to bless our brothers and sisters on the other side of the globe. And we've been over there three times as a church, taking different teams over there. And we've had Pastor Manuel come over here several times, even bringing Pastor Raymond last time that he was here. And that was very special, too. And God has used this church. I mean, I'm talking about a church plant. He's used this church to plant two churches in two different villages, directly plant two churches in two villages over in Ghana, in the village of Ohawu and the Weta Junction area. In fact, the one in Weta Junction, they called Evident Life Church, which is kind of neat. And we're still praying for the piece of land to make itself available for the actual building to be built. But the church is thriving and growing. It's been a blessing. And also to be involved in helping grow up the Christian school there in the village of Apife, where there was about 200 students to 250, and now there's over 650 students. And they're receiving two meals a day because of the chicken farm and the maize fields and all the other stuff that's going on. And now the church over there is continuing to be used by God to transform the whole region. I could go on and on. I would love to. But God is using this fellowship right here from the beginning of our plant, used us to be involved in bringing God's kingdom on the other side of the world. That's very special. And I believe that we're going to see more and more of that in Ghana and elsewhere throughout the world, where the Lord is creating divine relationships and is going to be using us to bless the church all over the place. I want to say this also about Africa. I was doing the math and adding up the numbers of our three times that we've been there. We've done a lot of evangelistic crusades over there in different villages. We'll go over there at night. We'll just turn on a generator and throw some lights up and a sound system that you can barely hear what's coming out of there. It's so crackly and everything. But we do these crusades over there. Over 500 people in the crusades that we've done. It's just a blessing. It's incredible. Over 500 people have come to Christ in those over in Ghana. So as we send teams over, as we do that, sometimes you can look at it and go, oh man, we're spending so much money to do this and that. I'm telling you what, there's fruit. There's fruit. It's a beautiful thing and really a blessing to be part of as a church. And then I think of our church family, of what God's been doing in us and through us. We've experienced the powerful hand of God on our lives. Many people have experienced healings, physical healings. Relationships have been restored. Hope has been restored. People have experienced deliverance from addictions and all kinds of stuff. God has moved powerfully in the lives of the people here in this fellowship. And those others that the Lord has brought through here for a season just to receive ministry from this church family. God has moved powerfully, and it's just so awesome to get to see it and to know it. And I probably know more of really all the little small things that are going on than everybody here. And I'm just telling you, it's amazing to watch this church in action, to watch how you reach out and you minister to one another. You care for one another. You serve one another. You give to one another. The Lord's given us some strategies and ideas of how to do that, even as a church family, as we started the adoption assistance program this past year. And we've helped families in this church adopt children. We've been instrumental in this, not only financially, which is a big part of the adoption assistance program, but also just encouraging as brothers and sisters in the Lord and helping when a family's got to travel all the way overseas and people in this church help babysit and help bring meals and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's beautiful. The benevolence fund that we have in the church and the help that's been able to be to different families and individuals in this church when those needs arise is beautiful. And again, just that generosity. I believe last year I spoke a lot about that. Talked a lot about how I'm just blown away by how generous this church is. Yeah, with money, but also just with yourselves, with your time. It's humbling. The last thing I want to point out, though, before we move on from that is I'm watching over the last 4.5 years, I've been noticing something, and I imagine everyone here has been. And if you haven't, just hang around a little bit longer, open up your eyes, you're going to see what's going on here. The children in this church, there's fruit that's coming out of the children of this church. It's coming out of this church, and it's showing itself in the children in this church who've been growing up and have been watching their parents be these generous people who really love God and who are the real deal and really going after God. And you're bringing your children along with you and you're letting them see what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. And you know what? They're getting it. They're on fire. In fact, they're in many ways, it's one of the more exciting, I'm just telling you, it's one of the more exciting things I'm seeing in our congregation right now is the youth of this congregation that's on fire for God, that love the Lord. I mean, they love the Lord, not because their parents they're doing what their parents are telling them to do, but because they know Jesus and they've encountered Him and they love Him and they're chasing after Him and they're giving their life to Him and they're saying yes to Jesus instead of all the other junk that so many people in their generation are saying yes to. And as a result, God's using them. They're being used to pray for people and see people healed. They're being used to lead worship. They're being used throughout the East Valley in different areas of leadership already in youth movements in the East Valley. It's incredible to see what God is doing in the young people, the children of this church. When you really look at it, it doesn't surprise me because they see their parents living that way. They see a genuine faith in their parents, training up, leading a child in the way they should go. It's beautiful. I'm just very blessed, young people, by your example, and I want to just fan the flame. Keep going after God. Keep going after God. As my young friend Austin would say, be 100, meaning give 100%. Be in 100%. Be all in. He encourages our basketball team that literally every time we get together, be 100. It's awesome. I love that heart, and I see that heart in the young people in this church. God's good. He's established His church. He's funded His church. He's resourced us. He's blessed us. It's amazing. So I would like everybody to stand up just for a moment here. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Let's give a shout out to God. Let's give a shout of thanksgiving to God for His goodness. God, You're good. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We give You the glory, God. We give You the glory, God. We say thank You, Lord. And we want more, God. We want You to be glorified in all things. We love You, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. Thank You, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Let's continue our journey. Our tour, the Evident Life Church tour here. Let's remind ourselves of our calling. Who are we? What are we all about here at Evident Life Church? Now, we know this. We know that the greater body of Christ, the worldwide church, the greater body of Christ is made up of different parts that have different purposes and different callings. We're going to study that more as we continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. For instance, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, it says that for the body, and Paul is talking about the church body here, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And then he continues in those passages to say, you know, that each member of the body has its own function. And he makes that analogy, you know, the hand is a hand and shouldn't try to be, you know, an eye or an ear. And we all have different functions within the body of Christ, different callings, different purposes for God to be glorified on that macro level of the whole body. At Evident Life Church, we have specific callings and just a specific flavor and DNA that he's put within us as a member of the body of Christ. But this is what is central. This is at the core of it, that Evident Life Church is what they say Christocentric, meaning that it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the center. He is the reason and the purpose. Jesus is our hope. And what does hope mean? In the Greek, when we look at that word hope, it means great expectation and deep desire. I've said that so many times, and it's important that we understand that. That when we think of Jesus as our hope, he is our deep desire. Is Jesus your hope? Is he your deep desire? Is he your longing? Is Jesus your hope? Is he the great expectation, the one that you're looking forward to? At Evident Life Church, Jesus is our hope. He truly is. He is our deep desire. He is our great expectation. Therefore, we're driven by the things that drive Christ, that drove Christ even as he walked as a man on this earth and ministered on this earth. We're driven to bring the kingdom of God. Isn't that what Jesus did? He came bring his kingdom to a lost and dying world. We're driven to bring Jesus, to bring his kingdom, to bring his presence into one another's lives and then into others' lives that don't know him. We've got to be driven by the things that drive Christ. We've got to have the things that are on the mind of Christ on our minds and on our hearts. And so at Evident Life Church, that's our desire, is to live that way and to be that way. I know in years past that I spent a lot of time talking about the roots of an evident life. The Lord gave us that reality. He told us that, first of all, that there's no accident that we were named Evident Life Church, because he truly wants it to be evident in this body that Christ is in us. He wants us to be the real deal. Okay? So he gave us that name, Evident Life Church. And then he told us the roots of an evident life go deep. How many of you know that if you want a tree to really grow and produce fruit and to be full and to continue living, it's got to have a good root system, right? And so the roots need to go deep. The roots of an evident life need to go deep. I want to talk about that just briefly this morning. What does deep mean? Deep stands for discipleship, evangelism, encounter, and prayer. It's kind of the DNA. It's kind of the nutrients, that we have got to have in our lives as believers if we're going to go deep in the Lord. If we're going to show forth and produce fruit, we've got to have these components in our life. In order for that to happen is what the Lord is saying to us. And his word very clearly shows this. We've got to go deep. Discipleship, number one. Discipleship. If you look to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, you can make a note of that, look it up later, or look it up right now. Discipleship is important. If we're going to go deep, if we're going to be the people of God that he's called us to be, we've got to be people who participate in and are involved in discipleship. Because an equipped saint is a powerful tool in the hands of God. Life groups, prayer meetings, women's meetings, men's meetings, the times that we get together as a church. We enjoy that. It's good to get together just to spend time together. That's an important component. But another component is that as we get together, and one of the reasons we get together is to encourage one another in the things of God, is to disciple one another. I've kind of given this picture before, where some people think that they can't disciple other people. They just believe that lie. They think, I can't disciple anybody else. I'm not mature enough. I'm not smart enough, and whatever. I don't know enough. I don't have enough Bible memorized, so on and so forth, and I don't know how to do that or how to do that. There's other people that are more equipped in the church to do that, so I'm not really called to disciple. That's a lie. We're all called to disciple. That's the Great Commission. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, too. Everyone here is called to disciple other people, to go make disciples, teaching them to obey all that Christ has commanded, teaching them God's ways. And all of us can disciple somebody. If you look at it this way, we're all going on our journey toward the Lord. You could look at it as a mountain, for instance, and you're climbing up this mountain to God. And if you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you're already going up the mountain. You're already in process. You're going after God. And there are people that are behind you that are down at the foot of the mountain who haven't made that decision, that need some discipleship in that. Or maybe you've become a Christian a year ago, and you've been in God's Word and a Christian for a year. There are people who are just coming to Christ today, right now, that you can pull up to where you've been, that you can bring along on that path that you've already taken. We all are called to disciple and to continue to be disciples. An equipped saint is a powerful tool in the hands of God. And so we gather together to disciple one another, to encourage one another. It says, iron sharpens iron. We can sharpen one another as we gather together and encourage one another in the things of God. That's one of our callings. And as we do that, our roots will continue to go deeper and deeper. We don't want to stop growing. We need to continue growing. Amen? Amen. Number two, evangelism. The second component of our roots going deep is evangelism. You look to Matthew 28, 18 and 20. I just mentioned that we're called to go make disciples. The first thing we got to do is we got to share the gospel with them. We got to tell them about Jesus. We got to introduce them to Jesus so that they can begin their new life in Christ Jesus. And then we take them all the way with what God has for them. Evident Life embraces this Great Commission. We got to be part of it. We have to be. As believers, Jesus didn't say, just some of you do this. Some of you be concerned about this. If you have time, if it's the right time of your life, then be concerned about the Great Commission. No, this is the Great Commission. Jesus, this is the last thing he said before he went to ascend to be with the Father. He said, come on now. Let's grow the body of Christ. Let's go make disciples. There are lost people out there, and I don't want them dying and going to hell. I want them to have an eternal relationship with God. That's why I hung on the cross. Make that important to you just as it was that important to me. And go evangelize. Tell people about me. So at Evident Life, we're committed to personal, local, global evangelism. And we're going to continue to ask God to lead us in that. Open up our eyes. Show us what that means to us individually as members of the church, but also as a church body. What does that mean? How do we live that out? God, we're willing. Show us. We're willing. And every time I think of the new building that we're going to be moving into, that we own, wow, I still think, wow. Every time I drive by it, I'm like, that's our building. Every time I think of that building, from the moment that it became available and I started talking with the church that used to own it, we do now, wow, I always thought evangelism. I'd see the building in my mind, and evangelism was always attached to that building. There's something there about it, and I believe that as we move into that new space, that this area, that this root of an Evident Life, it's going to become more evident and more clear of how, as a body of Christ, we can live this out and walk this out. It's going to be exciting. Some of you are like, uh-oh, what's that going to look like? I say, man, change your mind. Think, this is exciting. I'm going to walk into this area. I think of Jennifer. I'm just looking at you now, Jennifer, thinking about how you're like, oh, I really don't want to pray for that guy. I don't want to pray for that guy. You shared it last week. I don't want to pray for that guy. You stepped out in it. You did it. And you were blessed. And obviously he was, his wife was, and the Lord was glorified in it. We can be fearful of things, but we're going to allow our faith and our trust in God to break through our fear, and so that we can see God move in amazing, powerful ways. And that's going to happen with evangelism. And I believe there's a tie to that new building that we're moving into. It's awesome. Number three, encounter. The third way that our roots need to go deep is in the area of encounter. Encountering the power, the person, the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to go deep in encounter with God. We've got to remember this. You know, we sing that song, "Your presence is all I want, all I need," and I'm paraphrasing it. I can't live without you. You're everything, your life, your presence, your presence. And I know what can happen. Sometimes we can think about that and we go, oh, I don't know about that. Is that really what it's all about? And it is what it's all about. Jesus came, he gave his life so that we could be in God's presence. Because without salvation in Christ, we would be forever removed and separated from God's presence. The Father sent the Son so that we could be in his presence and he in ours, and we could do life together now and forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the whole point of it. Now there's all kinds of amazing theology and truth and things that we need to study and embrace and live out. Yes, yes, yes. But it ultimately comes to the fact that God wants to be with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to hear our voice, and he wants us to hear his voice. He wants to be with us. That's what it ultimately is all about. And so as a church, we've got to be people who are growing in this area of encountering God. And not thinking it's some kind of woo, wacky, crazy, woo kind of thing. We got to get over that. That's your mind that's offended by the presence of God. That's a problem. That's a big problem. And I'm preaching now. The Lord's coming all over me saying, that is a problem. And if you have that problem, you got to be going to God big time and break that off of you, because you're fighting against the very purpose that Christ came and bled. Was to your presence. Presence with him. Together, tabernacling. That's what it's all about. And if your mind's offended by presence, by his presence, by him moving, and by spending that kind of time, then you break it off. Oh, God, come and break that off. Break it off, God. At Evident Life Church, we believe that the gifts, that the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit are available to us today as members of God's family. There's no expiration date on God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't want to stop healing. He doesn't want to stop showing himself to his people. They're for us today. So we're about helping people develop this in their lives. We've got to be a community of believers, a church family, that's helping people develop an intimate relationship with God and encountering his presence. We have to be. Otherwise, we're missing it all, and we're just playing church and being all religious and all that. What we believe is that while programs can be helpful in a church body, programs alone are not going to change somebody. But an encounter with the very presence of God will always change somebody. Encounter. Number four, the fourth root of an evident life, prayer. The fourth way that we go deep is in the area of prayer. Prayer matters greatly. It changes things. Jesus said, and when you pray, pray like this. He didn't say, and if you pray. When you pray, pray like this. And then he taught us how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount. Prayer. I'm going to talk about that more in a lot more depth here in just a little bit. God wants his church to be a praying church. Not just a church with a prayer ministry. Said that before, probably say that every year in this Evident Life Church tour. He's not looking for a church just to be a church that has a prayer ministry and a few folks over there, you know, who are the supposed prayer people who do all the prayer. Now, it's okay to have a prayer, you know, a ministering prayer group at the end of the service and a certain number of people. But I'm talking about overall. He's looking for a church that's praying, a praying church, a house of prayer, a group of people that are going after God and praying. Interceding. I'm going to talk more about prayer in just a moment. So we've covered the deep roots of an evident life. And I encourage you, just as we as a church family and as leaders in the church, we have to look back at deep often and go, are we going deep in these areas? Are we watering these roots in this church? I encourage you to do the same in your own life. Discipleship, evangelism, encounter, prayer. Are you watering these roots of your life so that you can go deeper in the things of God? That's God's desire. Check it out. Look at your own life. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. So I've covered these deep roots of an evident life a little quicker than typical. I usually have a whole lot of scripture that I go through. But I want to spend more time this year talking about our future. Where's God taking us? Moving into the future, where is God taking us? I believe the word for our church this year is advance. Advance. I was praying in the new year, at the end of the year and the beginning of this year. I spent a lot of time in the prayer room. It was special. It was precious. I was asking God, give me direction for my life. Give me direction for my family. Give me direction for the church. God, give me a word. What is it that you have for Evident Life Church this year? What is the word for us this year? And the Lord kept saying, advance, advance. I'm like, man, that just sounds so aggressive. And, you know, we're not even moving in that new building until July. He said, Eric, the word is advance. Just keep praying. And so I kept praying. What are you talking about? What do you mean? Well, the definition of advance is this: to move forward in a purposeful way, to proceed, to press on, to push forward, to make progress, to gain ground, and then check out these other definitions of it. It's to approach. So you got advance. It's all of that. Let's go, go, boom, 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 forward, forward, forward. You think of a military battalion just taking off and taking the land. But then you've got approach. Advance also means to approach, to come closer, to draw near. And so it's a word. It's a calling on our church this year that we're supposed to advance. We're supposed to move forward and bring his kingdom into our world in greater ways and in new ways. But we're also supposed to advance in coming closer to him, in drawing near to him. Because if we just take off going forward without getting closer to God, it can get messy. So we are called this year as a church family. I'm convinced of it. This is the word that the Lord has given us this year at Evident Life Church. Advance. Advance. Press on. Move forward. Take ground and come closer to God. Draw nearer to him in that process. God is calling Evident Life Church to a year of advance. And one clear, very obvious way that we're called to advance is to move into the new building that the Lord blessed us with. Here's some pictures of that building. Just to remind you, if you haven't driven by it lately, he's calling us to advance into this new space, this new building that he's blessed us with. It's still a miracle, by the way, that we own that building. That building is in our name. It's wild. Pretty cool. But God is calling us to advance. Why has the Lord given us this building? Why has he planted us in this place, in the heart of downtown Gilbert? Why is he taking us out of this space that's way off the beaten path, up here where it's hard for anybody to even find us? And why is he putting us in the heart of downtown Gilbert on Gilbert Road, where there's all kinds of activity and there's cars going by day and night? Why is he doing that? He's doing it so that we, his church, can impact our world. We're not being planted in this place so that we can have a nice facility and a comfortable environment just to do church. That's not why he's putting us there. He's not putting us there so that we don't have to hear the noise from downstairs every once in a while and just have a little bigger space, a little more elbow room. He's not putting us there for those reasons. We're being planted in that place for impact. Lord, as I was getting this part of this word, he was saying, look, you know this, Eric, that Evident Life Church is not called to be like a country club church. We're just not. We're not called to be a country club church where the focus is let's make it really comfortable for everyone coming in and spend everything, all of our time, our efforts, our resources, our prayers and everything on just making it comfortable for the members. That's not who we are. It's never been who we are. Now, we do have pretty comfortable chairs. I will admit that. They're comfy. But then the Lord has blessed us with stuff. But that's not our focus. That's not what we're about. And that's not what this building is about. This building isn't about, wow, now we can do all this stuff for ourselves and it can be so comfortable and so wonderful. It's not about that. The Lord is saying, if you think that, get it out of your mind right now because you'll be very disappointed. The Lord is calling us to advance so that we would impact our community. We're supposed to be a lighthouse. This word lighthouse has been spoken over our church no less than 6 times, at least half a dozen times, by a few people in the church here and by several other ministers and pastors outside the church who have come in for different prayer meetings and stuff here. And they get a word, lighthouse. I get the word lighthouse. I see lighthouse when I walk in here. We're not called to be a country club. We're called to be a lighthouse. And as we move into this new facility, we're to be a lighthouse. And look at this lighthouse, this picture of this lighthouse. What's going on all around it? There are waves and crashing waves, and it's dangerous, and there's rocks. And if a boat was coming through that area and didn't know it, boom, they would crash. And this is a picture of what's going on in the world right now. There are people out there on the high seas of life that are being tossed to and fro, and they're just trying not to drown, and there's rocks out there that want to take them out, and they just want to bust up their lives, and it's happening day in and day out. I was at lunch the other day, and we were asking the waitress, you know, is there anything we can pray for? And she said, yeah, you can pray for my friend who is an addict and is finally going to go into rehab. I said, we can pray for that. We have a lot of faith for that. We've seen God move and do miracles in that area. We can pray for that. Later on, when she came back, we said, we just prayed for your friend. We're believing that she's going to experience God. She's going to come into relationship with the Lord, and her life is going to change. The waitress then told us that she has a couple other friends that just took their own lives recently. I mean, the world is messy. It's crazy out there. And the Lord has called us, His church, to be a lighthouse. To be a beacon that is leading the lost and the people who are on these high seas about to be destroyed. Lead them into the safe harbor of Jesus Christ. That's what we're for. And I believe that's what, as we advance into our new facility, we're going to have impact in this area of being a lighthouse. Not a country club for believers to come from other churches to just, oh, try out the latest and greatest, newest location of a new church. And wow, I love their worship band because they're awesome. But no, it's not about that. We're going to be a lighthouse that's going to help the lost and the dying and the hurting into the safe harbor of Jesus Christ. That's exciting. That is exciting. That's a purpose. And that's a plan that only comes from God, not from this world. The Lord gave me an acrostic last year representing 5 areas of impact. As we advance and we impact our world, there's 5 areas that He gave me. The acrostic is plant, P-L-A-N-T. Lord said, you're going to impact your world through plant, through prayer, through life, meaning defending the unborn, through adoption and orphan care, new church planting, and town transformation. We're going to talk about prayer in just a little bit. Let me go over the other ones. Life and defending the unborn. You know, we've had a long-term relationship with the crisis pregnancy centers. And this church has saved so many lives of the unborn, financially and also through your other efforts. We've had people in this church, Hannah, who have volunteered with the CPC. We've seen lives saved, countless lives saved as a result. And our commitment is there. And we've got to be there to defend the least of these, the unborn. And that's a way that we're going to continue to have impact in our world, in our community. The other way is through adoption and orphan care. The Lord obviously has a strong anointing and blessing and grace on this fellowship in the area of adoption. I mean, there are so many families that have adopted, so many people who have been adopted represented in this church family. Lord's given us a grace for that. I mentioned the adoption assistance program. I believe that we're going to see more and more in this area, and we're going to impact our world, our community more and more as we follow the Lord in this leading and trust Him for all we need in this area of adoption and orphan care. New church planting. You heard about the churches that we've already planted over in Africa. We believe that the Lord is going to use us to plant churches even here in Arizona in the future. We don't know when it's going to be, what it's going to look like, and where it is. The Lord has put on our hearts a desire to expand His kingdom. And we feel that planting churches is a very effective way of doing that. Just read the Bible. Look at the book of Acts. How the kingdom expanded as churches were popping up in communities all over the place. Town transformation. This is very exciting. I think this is one area where my heart skips a beat or two as I think about the new facility. And what does He have in this area of town transformation and evangelism and serving our community, bringing God's kingdom? God can change a city. Do you believe that? He can change a city. He's done it before. He can change a nation. He can turn things around. We cannot forget that. As crazy as it seems, as slippery the slope that we're on now as a nation, you know, just going the wrong direction, God can turn it around. But His church has got to be involved. We've got to be involved. And so town transformation is an area that we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in and through Evident Life Church in this area. But impact starts with what? Prayer. Impact starts with prayer. Do you want your world to be impacted? You got to pray. Yes, we're called to bring God's kingdom. We're called to go out and do this and do that and knock on doors and serve others and do it. Yes, we got to take action. But if we take action apart from God, we are going to fail. We're going to fail, or we're going to have just a fraction of any kind of success. Therefore, we need to go to God. Therefore, we need to pray. We've got to be with God. We've got to have the heartbeat of God in us. We've got to be walking to the heartbeat of God. So impact always starts with prayer. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you're familiar with this passage. If my people who are called by my name, are we called by His name, would humble themselves. Very important component. We've talked about humility as we've studied the book of 1 Corinthians. If we do that, and then we what? And we pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, choose His ways over the ways of the world. If we do this, then God is going to hear from heaven. He's going to forgive our sins. He's going to heal our land. Does our land need healing? Yes, then we need to humble ourselves. Come before Him and know that He can do this. One form of humility is knowing that God is able. He is able. And we need to pray and turn from being part of the world and go after God. And let's watch God start to change. The church needs to do this. The body of Christ, if it's not God's people, then who? Then how? God wants to impact our world, heal our land, and it begins with us praying, though. And it's important that we have personal prayer time. It's important that we spend that 5, 10, 15 minutes a day praying, that we have our list and we go through our list. Oh, we're praying for Uncle Bob's, you know, ingrown toenail, whatever it is. And we go through that list and we're praying for family members. It's important that we do that because that's how we can care and minister to other people. But I'm talking about prayer going beyond that. I'm talking about intercession. I'm talking about being the church, being the house of prayer, being the people of God. I'm talking about seeing the kingdom of God come and transform an entire community. talking about petitioning heaven for God's kingdom. Jesus instructed us to do this, again, in the Sermon on the Mount. Do you want to see the church impact our town, our state, our nation? Do you want to see it? Then the church must do what? Pray. We have to. We must come together and pray. Are you part of the church? Are you a Christian? Yes. If you can say yes, yes. If you're a Christian, then you're part of the church. And if you're part of the church, then you need to be part of what the church must be doing. If the church is going to have any impact, if the church is going to advance the kingdom, you've got to be part of prayer. It's got to be significant in our lives. Let's pray as we advance and witness impact. I think of the 120 believers in the upper room. What were they doing in the upper room? They wanted to see the kingdom advance. They wanted to see all that Jesus said was going to happen. You're going to do these things and even greater things. They're like, oh, wow, how? What did they do? They got together and they humbled themselves and they prayed. They shut themselves in a room and they kept praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And what happened? God came. Heaven opened up. God himself, the Holy Spirit, boom, comes all over the church. Fills them, empowers them, launches them out of the house of prayer, out of the place of prayer. 3,000, 120 in the upper room, 3,000 people in one day come to Christ and are baptized. 3,000. You want to talk about advance. You want to talk about impact. That day, big advance, big impact, and that day should be happening more often. It started with prayer. Started with prayer. The church coming together and praying. An advancement of the kingdom. An impact was the result. I want to get a little more personal. Do you want your family impacted this year? Do you want to see your family advance in the things of God? Starts with a lifestyle of prayer. Do you want to see your marriage revived? Prayer is the answer. Do you want to see your children impacted? Pray for them. Pray with them. If our kids are going to be impacted, and I'm saying in this church, again, I'm preaching to the choir. And I'm also preaching as a man who doesn't have it all together either. So don't look at me as some guy who's saying, oh, no. We just thank the Lord for what he's doing in the youth in this church. There's no accident of why that's happening. They're seeing their parents really living it out. Do we want our kids to really advance, to be able to advance the kingdom? Do we want to see our kids really impacting their generation? Do we want to see it all turned around? Then we need to lead, model our children, lead them in this area of prayer. They've got to be like, yeah, it's all about prayer. That's what it's about. I see my parents do it. I go with my parents to do it. It's exciting. I'm seeing God changing things. I'm seeing him move. I'm witnessing people getting healed. I'm seeing the results. I love it. We've got to bring them along. We've got to teach them. This means we've got to model it. What legacy are we leaving with our children? Talked about this a little bit last week. We just passing down, you know, a love for sports, or are we passing down a good work ethic? You know, what is it that we're passing down to our children? What is it that we're teaching them? Teach them in the way that they should go. Instruct them, lead them in the way that they should go, and they will not depart. It's good to teach your kids a good work ethic. It's good to teach your kids how to do yard work and how to fix lights and stuff like that, like I was doing with Grant yesterday. It's good to do that. But what is it that I want my kids to grow up into? What is it that I don't want them to depart from? What is it that I want them to live out? I want them to be people who are advancing the kingdom of God, who are all in for God and impacting their world. And it starts with prayer. I'm going to tell this story. Don't think I'm trying to puff myself up. I'm not. This is just a reality, and hopefully this is going to be somehow encourage you. Baylor came to town. They played in their first BCS Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl. We went on Tuesday, the 31st, to the pep rally. It was kind of not that great, but it was fun because there was a lot of green and gold, sick and bears. Whoa, yeah. You know, Coach Bryles gets up there, and whoa, man, that guy, you think I'm intense? Whoa, look out. So the game is on Wednesday, the 1st of January. And you know what time it is? 6:30. You know what we're involved in every Wednesday from 7 to 8:30? Wednesday night prayer. We had a choice to make. I'm like, oh, Lord, why'd you do this to me? Why'd you do this? This is Baylor, the first time in a BCS bowl. And it's live at 6:30, and I don't get it. I can't even record it. I need to go somewhere to watch it. I'm going to miss it. I had a choice to make. How am I going to start out my year? Watching a football game that will have no eternal impact at all ever, but it might be fun for a moment? Or am I going to go to the house of God, and am I going to pray? Velvet and I decided we're going to go pray. We're going to lead the prayer meeting. We're going to go because we know that that is an investment in the eternal. And so we went, but we told our kids, you know what, guys? You can do what you want to. You can stay home and you can watch it. We can get you set up to where you can watch the game. If you want to watch it live, you can watch it. I know you're excited. They all came to prayer. I don't know. Bless my heart. Had me tearing up, choked up. They came to prayer that night. We watched the game the next morning on ESPN3, the replay thing. And Baylor lost. Whatever. But eternal things happened that night in prayer. The heart of God was touched that night. And I'm saying, this is the kind of impact, this is the kind of advance. If we're going to have real advancement, real impact, then we got to make choices in life. As a church, as individuals, and as a church, prayer is important. Our future is bright. As a church. It's bright as believers, but it's also bright as a church. It's very bright. Why? Because we have confidence in God, not in ourselves. Because we know God is good and He's on the throne. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We know His goodness. And we know if we continue to follow His ways, that it's all going to be good. We're going to be in that sweet spot. And so our future is bright because we're in Christ Jesus. Because we go deep, we can advance in confidence and we can impact our world. I want to read Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. I want to ask you all to stand up as I read this over us. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. Most of you are familiar with verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Amen? Let's continue. What does he say here? Then you will call upon me and come and do what? And pray to me. And I will do what? I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Church, the Lord has given us the word and the confidence to advance this year. The word is advance. And he's saying as we advance in him that we will impact our world. But he is saying it starts with prayer. That as we look at verse 11, the plans to give us a future and a hope. We love that. We love that. Prayer is part of that. Prayer is part of that. He has so much for us. Just as he did for the church on the day of Pentecost. So much for us as the people of God if we will come together and pray. And I just want to encourage us. I know life is crazy. I know there are things that tug at us. I know that there are football games we want to go watch on television. I know that there are all kinds of things that we want to be involved in that seem to tug at us. I know that there's that thing that I got to just have my time. But I want to encourage us, and I'm telling you this as your pastor. I'm telling you this because I want the best for you and for us as a church family. That there is so much God has for you. There is so much more that God has for you and for us as a church family. But we, as Austin says, we got to be 100. We got to go after it. We got to spend time with Him in His presence. If I want to go surfing, I can't hang out in Yuma, Arizona. I got to go over to San Diego. I can't just go as far as Yuma and stop. I got to go to San Diego and hit the surf. God has so much for us. He has advancement. He has impact. He has His presence for us. So I want to encourage you with that. Let's not sell ourselves short or accept less than. I'm grateful the people, the early church, the people who were in that upper room didn't settle. I'm thankful that they kept coming together and praying and seeking God's face. And we can be those people. We can be those people. Let's advance.